right, so exploring modern UI frameworks. Well, first, I just want to say thank you to everyone who makes this conference possible. All the people who spent, I don't want to know how many hours you spent preparing this conference, so thank you very much. Also, thank you to everyone who's here and who's making this conference a great place to be. I'm really having a blast every single year when I come here, so I love meeting all of you and discussing with all of you, so thank you for all of that. Right, so hi, I'm Jules, and this is Cool Lab, so I am the developer behind Cool Lab. This talk is not about Cool Lab, it's going to be some context. But yeah, if you want to learn more about Cool Lab, feel free to come tomorrow at the workshop. So the talk, why did I spend the last 3 months of my life just exploring every single UI framework out there, comparing them, trying them, changing, never being happy? So what's the problem? Currently, Cool Lab is written with DRAM GUI. For those who know it, it's immediate mode UI library. I'm going to explain what it means later on, but it works very well. It's an amazing library. I love it. Don't get me wrong. Very easy to use, very powerful. You can do lots of things. Yeah, I know that Tixel is also using DRAM GUI. It's a great library. Yeah, you can see it everywhere. So what's the problem? There's one problem with DRAM GUI. It's layouts. It's very not good at doing layouts. So if you want something simple like widgets below each other, it works perfectly fine. If you want them on a row, works fine, and that's it. Like if you want aligning to the right, even spacing, doing some more like complex grid things, it's not gonna work. Or basically what it means is you have to compute everything manually, so you have to compute the size, subtract the width, and compute how many items. It gets complicated, it takes a lot of time. And it worked for a while. But the thing that made me want to change is I wanted to redesign our nodes menu. Currently, it looks like this. It's a big wall of text on the right, and it's overflowing the slides. It also overflows in the window in the real life. So it's been bothering me for a while, so I started redesigning it. You can see my beautiful drawings here. So basically, I wanted a very large layout. I wanted some nets for every effect. And one thing very important when you want... Oh. Yeah, perfect. When you want to do that kind of layouts is you just want to spawn thumbnails, and as soon as they overflow and they would go outside the window, you want them to wrap on the next line automatically. And that's something you cannot do in AmGUI, so I was like, okay, it's going to be very painful. Maybe it's time to use something else. Also, at the same time, I was finishing revamping a website, so I had spent a few months using React, and I really enjoyed it, and it made me realize that, there are some limitations in AmGUI. Maybe it's time to switch. So my first approach was, I do not want to rewrite everything. It's a very, very long thing to do. And I heard about Clay. Clay is a very cool library. If you've not heard about it, there's some great videos about it. Basically, Clay is something that can go on top of any UI framework. And it's a layout engine. So it can do everything that's missing in AmGUI. And what's very cool is then it isn't a standalone thing. It just gives you a list of rectangles and where to place them on the screen. And so, for example, I tried in 1 hour, I had an AmGUI version of Clay. And I just drew rectangles with AmGUI, drew images, drew text. And that's basically everything that Clay needs you to do. And you can make your thing. So. Worked very well for I had a prototype running in an hour, and I could just have been done and not make this talk. What the problem was is Clay is very recent, and it was missing some essential features that I needed, especially like wrapping when you overflow and move it to the next line. There's an issue open for 2 years, no progress on it, and all that kind of thing. So. It's always a big question when you want to use something that's very new. It's shiny, there's cool features, and etc. But you also have to consider, like, is it going to continue? Is the developer going to still work on it? Is the approach viable? Maybe, like, the layout that I need, maybe it's actually impossible with the approach I took. So I didn't want to gamble, like, is the feature going to happen in 1 year, 10 years? I don't know. So I didn't take that approach. But honestly, and that's going to be true for every single framework I present, they're all amazing, they all work very well, all have great advantages, and also some problems, and that's something I realized midway during my exploration, is that anyways, there's no perfect solution anyways. And so, yeah, Clay is amazing, and you could definitely use it if it fits your needs, and especially maybe in a few years when it gets more mature. Then, okay, so keeping the existing UI, the approach didn't work. So I was like, okay, maybe let's do it. Let's rewrite at least the UI part of the code base, which is a big part. Like, it's probably more than half of the code base is just UI code. So, but okay, let's bite the bullet. Let's do it. In the long run, I think it's going to save me time. So, okay, why not? And so the first thing I explored was the web. Of course, it's like the big obvious choice. I've had some very good experience doing some websites. So yeah, okay, web technologies are very great. Okay, yeah. What are the advantages? There are also some problems, of course. We're going to talk about them later. But the web is the single biggest framework that is used absolutely everywhere. There's been a billion things built with it. And therefore, many people know how to use it. There's a lot of tooling around it. There's so many features in there, like every weird layout, complex animation, whatever. It's all built in. And if it's not built in, you've got a JavaScript library doing it. So that's very cool. You can make basically every single UI you want very easily with it. Also, if you have a designer making designs in PenPart or in Figma, you can just export the thing to web and it just works. So yeah, very, very important, very nice. Very nice framework, allows you to save a lot of time. Also, one thing that's very important is hot reloading. When you do UIs in C++, for example, with AmGUI, like I'm doing, you have to recompile every time. So you make a change, wait for it to compile. It can take a few seconds, a few minutes, depending on the size of your project. And then you see the change. And then you go, oh, no, actually, I don't want 5 pixels of gap. Maybe 8 pixels look better. And you recompile, wait again, see the result. So in web, it's very different. You just save, and it just works. Oh, yeah. So that saves a lot of time. So that's really what was my initial goal, was like, OK, I'm going to save a lot of time. I pay a big cost upfront by rewriting everything. But then I use web. Everything is very easy to do, very fast to iterate. Great. Also, one thing to keep in mind when we say web, I should say web technologies, because it doesn't force you to make a website. You don't have something that's online. You have to go in your URL. You can also make traditional desktop apps with with web technologies. The most famous framework is called Electron. There are many, many applications built with it, like VS Code, Discord, whatever. So yeah, it's a framework. You write your front end with normal web technologies, and then it creates a desktop app behind it. There's a few problems about Electron. I don't have time to talk about them. I don't think there's that big of a problem. The biggest reason why I did not use Electron is, in Electron, the backend, your actual application, it's not C++ like CoolLab is, it's JavaScript, which is very great for many people, and they're very happy to use JavaScript for their front backend. It did not work for us, of course. I mean, I did also considered changing language, but that's another story. In the end, I decided that JavaScript was not it. You can also do native plugins with Electron, so you can do C++ Electron applications. That's possible. It seemed complicated, and I was not sure, like, especially how debugging would work when you have to compile separately, etc. So I prefer just keeping something simple. Also, for new developers, I prefer, like, if it's a standard C++ or whatever application, rather than a complicated setup. But Electron is not the same in the family. It was the first one, and that's why it's the most famous one. There are a ton of them. So some of them are in C++. I mentioned these two. They are paid proprietary software, so that was not an option. And unfortunately, in C++, the only other option was Chromium Embedded Framework. So basically, it's the core code that is behind Google Chrome and that other browsers reuse, Brave, Edge. And it's basically a C++ library. So you can also just build your application around that and use that to create your UIs. I know that Graphite, that's what they use. So this is definitely possible. It's not as simple as Electron, because Electron puts a lot of glue on top of it and a nice framework to make a full-featured application immediately. Ceph is lower level, but definitely possible. That would definitely have been an approach I could have taken. That's not the one. because when I was exploring alternatives to Electron, I saw TARI. And TARI looked very, very promising. And one big thing about TARI is the backend is not in C++, it's in Rust. So I'm making a small parenthesis for those who don't know Rust and C++ very well. So Rust is basically a modern version of C++. Like, it's the same kind of language, very low level, very performance heavy. So very perfect for all the older software. If you don't know C++, mostly all the software you will see at LGM, most of them are in C++. It's really like the go-to for like low performant applications. And Rust is the same kind of thing, redesigned 25 years after C++. And from my experience, I have tried it, and it's true what everybody says on the internet. Yeah, Rust is amazing, very enjoyable. I'm closing the parenthesis. It's not a Rust talk, but come talk to me if you want to talk about Rust. I had seen Rust for a while, and rewriting everything in Rust was not reasonable. It was not enough to justify rewriting everything just to change language, even though it has some advantages over C++. But now I was in a situation where I was about to rewrite half of the application anyways, and so I was like, why not the other half? As I started considering this possibility, I realized that, that big system, I want to rewrite it anyways, because if I want to enable this great feature that has been on my to-do list for 2 years, I need to do that big refactoring anyways, and this and that. And so I kind of realized that I wanted to rewrite the whole application at some point down the line anyways, so might as well do it once now, do it properly, spend a few months choosing the right technology, and hopefully be happy forever. And never change again, never do another rewrite again. So, okay, maybe Rust. If I keep C++ like in 10 years, I'm gonna hate myself for not choosing Rust. So, I gave up and I said, okay, let's rewrite everything. I'm a programmer, I can't resist rewriting everything. I'm sorry. I know it's a bad idea, but yeah. So, started experimenting with TARI. Absolutely amazing framework, lots of very nice little things, very easy to use, very complete, etc., etc. One big problem is, so in TARI, just like Electron, your front end is standard HTML, CSS, JavaScript. You can use whichever framework you like, React, Svelte, whatever. And your backend is in Rust. And then the two have to communicate. Whenever there's a change on the Rust side, so say your Rust engine is like modifying the value of some variable, some number, you have to synchronize the UI so that the UI knows displays a new value, and vice versa. When users modify things in the UI, you have to tell the Rust backend that something changed, and you have to do this for basically absolutely everything. So every single bit of state on the Rust side that also needs to be shown in the UI. You have to synchronize them. You have to duplicate the types, duplicate the code. Don't forget to call a callback whenever something changes so that everything's updated properly. So, that was looking a bit problematic. And so there's another very similar thing, which is Dioxys. The only difference is that in Dioxys, your front end is not JavaScript, it's Rust. It's still web technologies. You're still writing HTML, CSS, but inside Rust. And then all the logic, if that condition is true, then show this part of the code, otherwise show this part of the UI, is done in Rust. It's literally the same thing as Svelte or React or the JavaScript frameworks. It's just in Rust, which arguably is more complex than JavaScript. But in the case where but this has a big advantage that it's one single language. You define an object in Rust, your engine uses it, renders some things. And then the UI can reuse the same thing. There's no duplication, no synchronization. So I switched to Dioxys. Again, beautiful framework, works very nicely, lots of very enjoyable things. There is lots of nice small features that I don't have time to talk about. one other very nice thing I should mention with Dioxys, and one problem with TARI, when you're doing that two separate words that need to communicate, sending a few numbers is no problem. Sending images is a big problem. Like the image would be rendered on the GPU, by your Rust engine, whatever. And then it's the UI who needs to display it. So the naive solution is download it to the CPU, copy it to the UI process, which is a different process, so basically almost a separate application, and then you can display it. It introduces latency, and especially for real-time application like CoolLab, it was not okay. Honestly, if you're doing some offline, like GIMP, Inkscape, or Graphite, could absolutely work. But in our case, this was not possible. There are workarounds. So what I did a prototype in Tori, where basically you render the UI, except for one div, which is transparent, and then you let the Rust engine just render in the same window on top of it. It's a hack. It works perfectly fine. So that was the solution. But yeah, another problem with Tori. Dioxus has exactly the same problem, except for one thing, which is they're working on an experimental, basically new web browser, but it's a very stripped down lightweight version for just our needs, which is basically rendering HTML, CSS, and that's it. So they're stripping all the JavaScript engine, they're stripping all the billion APIs that are available in the web, so much more lightweight, etc., which is cool. And one big thing is, since it's really built natively, it can interact with your GPU API. So the same thing that we render in Rust in our engine, we could just give a texture to Dioxus, to the new renderer, and it would just display it. The normal version and what Tori and Dioxus use, they use, just like Electron, they use the Chromium embedded framework. And it's a bit awkward to send texture to it because, like, it's a separate thing and it's a big code base that you and people have tried to hack around, and it's possible to give texture to Ceph, but yeah, complicated, but whatever. So could work. Dioxus sounded even better. Oops, sorry, spoiling. Okay, so Dioxus solves all my problems. I'm almost happy with it, but and there was one final but. I realized that actually, none of the web frameworks are ever going to work for me. For one big reason, a bit similarly to how Tori, you have to duplicate the code and everything and it gets complicated. Dioxus fixes some of those problems, but there's still one fundamental problem, which is your UI is what's called a retain mode UI. So basically, you need the UI only renders when it needs to, and you have to tell it, oh, this value has changed, so please update that little part of the UI. And all the modern framework, React, Svelte, and Dioxus, they simplify it. It's not a problem on a day-to-day basis. Like for most applications, it's not a problem. You don't realize it. It's just, instead of, for example, instead of having just a number, you have a signal. It's called signals. You have a signal of a number. It behaves just like a number. But whenever you modify that number, it automatically tells the UI to re-render the right parts. So it works almost transparently, but you have to wrap everything inside signals. And in my case, it was a problem because the Rust engine is something very separate from the UI code. And I didn't want to have it strongly coupled. I didn't want to have to modify all my types. And especially like, in my case, I also want debug UIs. So basically absolutely everything in the engine, I really want it to be showable in the UI. For example, one thing we have in CoolLab is, I want to show the textures that are currently loaded just so I can debug and see if everything's working fine or not. So absolutely everything would have to be wrapped in signals, and like signals work for numbers and strings, but textures probably not. So I would have to make custom callbacks, etc. Anyways, you get the point. It works. It's very great, but but it's annoying. In my case, for my architecture, where I really wanted to have a separate library that during the rendering. Also, that's a talk for another year, but I have designed this little rendering library as something very universal and not tied to CoolLab, so maybe some other projects can reuse it. And so I really did not want to have Dioxus coupled to it and forcing everyone who wants to use that little renderer to also use a UI in Dioxus. So and that's not a problem about web only. Like, there are other frameworks that are not web, but they are still retain mode UIs, meaning they need like some kind of callbacks to know when things change or not, and it's annoying. And so what's the solution to that? Well, the solution is immediate mode UIs. So if you remember the first slide of this talk, DRAM GUI is immediate mode UIs. It's what I'm used to, and I realize that I really, really miss its simplicity. In AmGUI, you render every frame the UI. So it doesn't need callbacks, it doesn't need to know what changed or what doesn't change, you don't need to track any of that. It's very simple. You just tell it, oh, here is the current state of my engine, here is a list of textures, here are the values, and it just works, it just displays them. Very simple, there are some limitations. You cannot do quite as complex of layouts and styling as web technologies if you want to keep it very performant, but you can still do very cool UIs with it, that's not a problem. So, and that allows, yeah, to have something things very decoupled. I really wanted, I'd much rather just add in my engine a little getter that says, hey, here is a list of textures. You can display it in the UI. It's much simpler, much less intrusive than having to say, okay, you actually need to embed the Dioxys dependency and wrap everything around signals because I use this for this specific library. So. My love for GIM GUI came back. So what's the conclusion? Should I just give up everything? Well, first, in the meantime, I fell in love with Rust and I fell in love with all the new ideas and re-architecturing that I had done. So I wanted to do a big rewrite anyways. And also, more seriously, the problems that I had in GIM GUI, they are not gone. And so that's the solution. Hopefully, iGUI, it's a library very strongly inspired by GIMGUI in Rust, which is nice. Although GIMGUI is such a famous library, you have bindings in every language, so that's not a problem if you want to use GIMGUI in Rust. Also possible. But the second great thing about iGUI is that it improves on some of the problems of AmGUI, especially layouts. In iGUI, you can do much more advanced stuff. I mean, you're still much more limited than web, but already much better than AmGUI, especially my big use case of, when elements overflow, they wrap to the next line automatically. iGUI does it, and many other nice things. So that's it, I guess, iGUI. Disclaimer, I have not had time to try it too much, so maybe there's another problem that... But I don't think so, honestly. I've used AmGUI for 5 years. It was working very well, except for some limitations, some things that were complicated. iGUI seems to improve on that, so hopefully I'm going to be happy with it. And in a way, I'm sad that web did not work for me, because web would have, on top of improving the layout, it would have been so much nicer for many reasons, like better styling, faster development, hot reloading, whatever. And there were all the nice little bonuses that I tried to get in the... in what I was doing my big change. In the end, I cannot get them. I can just fix the one problem that I had in AmGUI, the one fundamental problem, and not more, which is cool. But yeah. All right, so time for some conclusions. So that's something I realized. There is no perfect solution. UI is a very complicated topic. You have to accept that every framework and every different paradigm is going to have some very shiny selling points, and it's going to have some problems. So you just have to figure out, that's what I had done, like a big list of all the small little details, but don't focus on all the small little things. Like, of course, you're going to be, oh, Tori, he's got this and that, and I don't have to spend a week implementing that because Tori does it automatically. Yes, it's nice, but in the end, you can do it yourself. So I had to really stop looking at all of those, or otherwise it's very overwhelming. You have so many options to compare and be like, oh, yeah, Dioxys has this and Tori has that, and you don't know. So I had to stop and just make a list of, okay, what are the essential things? What are the things that I cannot compromise on? And all the rest, well, I just bite the bullet and accept that the framework I choose has some problems. So, yeah. Here are some resources if you want to learn about clays and people talking about UI design and limitations and trade-offs and lots of interesting things. I'm going to share the slides on Mastodon, tagging LGM, so if you want to get them, I'll share them. And yeah, questions? Yeah.
Is there some kind of scripting integration for iGUI like there is for DRM GUI? I remember using DRM GUI with Lua, for example, which made the hot reloading possible.
Oh, do you mean some bindings in Lua?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pre-existing stuff.
I'm not too sure. Like DRM GUI has been there for such a long time. There's bindings in basically every language you can imagine. eGUI, there might be some. For sure, in the future, as the library matures, I think there will be bindings everywhere. Yeah. To complement your question, DRM GUI and eGUI, they really come from the world of video games and integrating in engine, etc., which is also a good fit for CoolLab and other like graphics editor apps, because like they're really designed. For example, the node graphs that we have in CoolLab, which is one big part of it, like there's libraries in eGUI, there's all the sliders for picking colors and whatever. And so, yeah, that's also one nice thing about them. Yeah.
Thanks for the talk. Why not Qt or GTK?
Yeah. GTK, I don't know. Qt, I have never tried. I have the impression that it's a bit old and complicated. And so I might be wrong. I know one thing in the same vein, Juice, that I use a lot at work. I really think we can do better nowadays. And I really think, so there's no perfect solution and there's some fundamental problems. But I think Juice and other frameworks also have like some complexity that is accidental, and I think we can do better. So that's my humble opinion. I'm not sure on that take, honestly. Except Juice, I don't like Juice. Sorry, I tried it. Yeah.
With so many names dropped already, I'll add one more. Slint is something that's also very interesting. It's a bit like Qt, but in Rust and with many new ideas. Also, they have hot reloading in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I unfortunately did not have time to talk about all the frameworks I explored. So I kept the most interesting ones, but definitely Slint is very cool. They have kind of their own version of CSS. So you can do styling on with a separate language, which look pretty nice. And there's a ton of them, like, there's Iced in Rust, which looks very cool, and yeah, plenty that I didn't have time to mention, unfortunately.
You seem to have hit the nail for the different toolkits. So maybe one more question, and then let's continue the discussion in the break, yeah?
So in terms of web UI, I've been kind of experimenting and investigating similar things for similar reasons in this sort of similar UI. One thing I was looking at, and I'm curious, you're talking about synchronizing state between the browser view and the application. And I was looking recently at something like HTMX and the idea of having completely stateless browser side. Did you look at that at all?
No, I don't think in our case where we need to have something. I mean, I kind of not. No, I have not. I have considered, I didn't have time to talk about it, but also like changing language completely, like making a full web application in full JavaScript running on in the browser. Mostly for performance would have been mostly fine, I think, since the work happened on the GPU anyways. I also read that it's still not quite as good as native, and so for some other reasons, I didn't do a full web thing. And then if you want to have some split things where you have a backend in Rust, for example, and then a UI. Yeah, so I ended up with the problems I talked about. But yeah, sorry, I'm going to mention one last thing. But yeah, as I said again, all of the frameworks are probably the best one for you, and probably all the solutions here are amazing for you. Maybe web is a solution for you, especially if you have like a quote unquote simple application. Please do some web stuff. Web is amazing. If you have Tori is amazing also. If you want some heavy computation and you need the performance of Rust, but just for some simple tasks, for small tasks, and the rest of the logic of your application is entirely in the JavaScript in the UI part, it's absolutely possible. Definitely works very well for some projects, but yeah, just not for me. Yeah, sorry.
Great. All good.